The next guest into the Family Goals podcast. This is my dude. You're going to love this guy, Pastor Jay.
I can't wait to meet him.
Yeah, well, I'm disappointed. We were talking about it a little bit. I mean, hey, by the way, Walker, as soon as I said fancy, like, he knew exactly who you were. It was like, oh, I was like, that's all I had to say. He was over here with the Oreo shake, and he was ready to rock and roll. Walker Hayes, Mr. Country Music, but I think you're going to love his story and who he is. First of all, I got to go ahead and get this out the way. How are we feeling? Because you're not used to this many losses, Walker. Like, Alabama and who they are and what they are. I mean, are we making it through this season as an Alabama football fan?
Dude, great question. And Pastor Jay, good to meet you. And yes, my name is forever synonymous with Applebee's, and I'm not ashamed of it. But Pollock, I mean, I don't think this season is that much different than last, unlike a lot of Bama fans. I just think we haven't squeezed out of a couple games like we did last year. We should have lost to Auburn last year.
Yeah.
But we inched out of it, and we've had some close ones here, and we're not like elite amazing, but it's not that much different to me. And honestly, I didn't have like undefeated, you know, aspirations going into this season. So honestly, I'm not that let down. I liked some of the tendencies, a little bit of the lighthearted feel, you know, our team has. I see how some of that can maybe bite you, you know, with superstars on the team or whatever. But I think DeBoer's hanging in there. It's a competitive SEC. Every freaking week, take Bama out of the picture, games are nuts, man. I mean, football's fun to watch this year. That Georgia game, what? The
nuts.
First half? Holy crap. I mean, dude, I feel like every game it's like, yep, I'm going to watch that and something crazy is going to happen. And my kids do too. They're like, you never know, man. But I can't wait for Vandy to play Tennessee. I can't wait to see how the season unfolds. But to me, this year is just what college football is all about, man.
Perfect time for 12, ain't it?
Oh, my goodness. Like, and Bama's fighting for it. You know, you're like, dude, we might still hang in there, you know. So, yeah, dude, this has been one of the most fun seasons to watch ever.
All right, so you got to fill in Pastor Jay on your 75 kids that you have and the family situation in the Walker Hayes household.
Yeah, so Pastor Jay, I have 6 kids. My oldest is almost 19. Her name is Leela. Then I have 3 boys. They're 17, 15, and 13. That's Chapel, Baylor, and Beckett. And then I have 2 little girls, Loxley and Everly. They're 11 and 9. And big part of my story is Lainey and I lost our 7th. She was a stillborn.
Oh, wow.
And her name was Oakley. But, man, God has redeemed that 10,000-fold. And dude, we're a massive family. I mean, it's a lot. It's chaos. 100% of the time.
Well, every child is a miracle. Every child is a gift from heaven, a blessing. Psalm 127 says that your quiver is full with 5 kids. So you got more than a quiver. You've got more than a full quiver.
No, I'm shooting arrows everywhere. It's like fireworks made of arrows over here.
Well, and how do you do that, man, with your lifestyle and touring and traveling? And I know you, and I've known you for a long time, but, like, your kids play baseball. Like, they're in sports. Like, you've got a lot of different directions. Like, how do we keep Walker and company on track and keep God in the center so that you're not getting distracted and all over the place because you got so many things going on in all y'all's lives?
You tell me, bro. No, I every day I kind of so I look at every day as just another day on the battlefield that I want to be on, you know. And my family is kind of it's a small ecosystem, you know, that God has given me. And within my reach, I've got 6 kids and an amazing woman. And one of the most humbling things about my life I think personally is how bad I can mess that up. You know, that's my main job. That's my main focus God has given me. Yet I continue to screw that up on a daily basis. So for me, every day is a lot of begging for the Lord to help me and then saying a lot of sorries and trying to be vulnerable with my kids. But as far as the basic guys, it really is a daily thing. I'm coaching basketball now, so we get to do that as a family. You know, the whole family shows up to those games. But I take my family everywhere.
That's what I wanted you to get to, homie. Like, you take them with you on the road, man.
Oh, honestly, I think my kids are probably embarrassed sometimes. I mean, we rarely are not together, all eight of us. I just see that as kind of one decision I can make in their lives now that hopefully will impact them when they leave the nest, you know, is that I was there. You know, we were there. We were together. My kids see me work every day. And we get to wake up. You know, I don't know how many men get to wake up basically at work with their whole family and their wife. And man, my kids have sacrificed to do that. They don't have a normal life. They've never been to school. They're homeschooled. And my wife, you know, that's a huge burden on her, you know, to basically do life on a bus. I mean, she doesn't do most of the year life in a house. And so I'm really grateful that they choose to sacrifice what they do to give me the opportunity to be a better dad, to be a more present father. So a lot of that is on them, not even on me. I love that they choose to come out, you know, and do that with me.
So do you have your own basketball team? Is it just your family's the team? Or do you
you know, I have two boys and they start, and I feel guilt. I try to be not, you know, biased because that's a lot of the team. I mean, that's almost half the starting team is our Hazes. But they earned it. They really did. And man, gosh, I love coaching them more. I mean, almost more than anything. It's crazy. But everywhere we go, it's like a clown car. I mean, people just keep getting out. And
y'all have like a 12-passenger van?
We do. I'm surprised we haven't painted like Hayes Church or something on the side. But dude, we're a unit. I mean, we go everywhere together. When we're apart, this is kind of something I wonder about. Am I doing it right? Because sometimes when we're apart, it just doesn't feel right, you know. And I'm like, we might be getting on the codependent side of things. Like, we need to be able to do life, you know, not together. But yeah, we have really taken advantage of the opportunity to do it together. And hopefully that will serve my children. I know it'll serve me. I mean, I know I'm going to be on my deathbed with some of the greatest memories a man could ever have. With, you know, every night when I'm working, my daughter's dancing on stage with me. I'm looking at her. My sons and my wife are side stage. As soon as I walk off stage, I just kind of walk into their arms. And we continue the game of Uno, you know, we were playing, or whatever trick shot we were doing. And the dogs are on the bus. It's the wildest life you could ever imagine. And I'm beyond grateful that I get to experience it.
All right, Walker, you talked about the van. And immediately what comes to my mind is Craig. And you have the Be a Craig, you know, foundation. But that song, that song to me puts you on the map. Like, I let people listen to that all the time. And I've always, like, it makes me tear up because I know it's true. Yeah. And I know about, like, so tell us about Craig and tell us about, like, that song. And is that kind of what started everything off for you as an artist, and also about Craig and his influence in your life?
Most importantly, the Craig story, David, and you know this, and I got to be honest with you guys, I don't really care about the whole music side of things. I mean, I'm so grateful. And I, man, thank you, Applebee's. But, you know, and my bills are paid, which is insane. You know, I never thought I would wake up with this, like, financial peace or whatever. And honestly, I still don't even know if I have that. I just can pay my bills because of music. But my new life began, thank you to Christ, working through a guy named Craig. And basically what happened to me is I was a really, the only way to describe it really is to say I was an atheist. My wife was a believer. I was just not. And so that was a dilemma with the kids. It was like, what are we going to teach them? And, but we did okay. Like we weren't about to get divorced or anything. We would have these like kind of laughable arguments. Like she would teach Noah's Ark and I'd be like, I don't know, you know, here's my story of the rainbow, you know, but I just wasn't attracted to the church community, you know, anything like that. And, my wife dragged me to this church. And this guy named Craig bolted to me in this church. And I actually showed up to this church tipsy. I mean, I'm 9 years sober. And this was probably 10 years ago. And so I walk in this church and this guy bolts for me, big eyes, smiling. And he shakes my hand and he's all touchy-feely. And kind of annoying, and he was like, "Dude, I'm so glad you're here, bro. I'm so," and I was amazed because I was like, "Man, he knows I'm hammered right now," and I think he know, you know, I was like, "I think he's got an idea that I do not subscribe to any of this stuff." You know, I was Mr. like, not gonna bow my head, not gonna sing a hymn. No joy on my face whatsoever. Just get me out of this place, you know? And this guy, you guys, I couldn't make him go away. I mean, he would show up at my son's baseball games. He would feed Laney and I. You know, at the time I was working at Costco and just trying to make ends meet and get the benefits, like the insurance benefits. And he would show up at my son's games. He would come to our house, which was honestly phenomenal. That was one of the main things I was surprised about Craig and Laura is that they would come into our mess, step out of their clean, Pottery Barn life and get into like holes in the sheetrock, you know, from baseball and nasty cars because, you know, with donuts on them because I couldn't buy a new tire, you know, and they were up in the middle of that. And Craig knew that we had one car and he knew that everywhere we went, we played this game. And it was a cop game. Every time I would say cop, my kids would dive down in the floorboard because we didn't have enough seat belts for everybody. And so Craig shows up at one of my son's baseball games in his own van. And, he's got the keys and the title to this van. And, you know, he's not rich. He's not wealthy by any standard. And he gets out of his car smiling ear to ear. And he's like, hey, man, all you got to do is sign. And this is yours. This belongs to you. And, dude, I was embarrassed. I was mad. Honestly, I want to fight him. I was like, why would you do this to me? Like, I don't want to be the guy that needs help from Mr. Christian Hero guy, you know? And so anyway, my daughter that night said, Dad, just take the car. And I remember just kind of conceding, being kind of rude about it. I was like, bro, I'll borrow it. You know, I'll use it. I'll give it back. And so we took the van, and as I drove home that night, I saw my kids in the rear view, and dude, it crushed me. Just seeing them all safe for the first time. I think the weight of who I was becoming, who I had been, the Savior I needed. I didn't go home that night and purchase a Bible or get on my knees and pray, but my heart, it's almost like the Grinch. It got like a tiny bit softer, you know? And it was perplexing. It was so difficult for me to thank Craig, to adequately feel like, man, you know what you did for me, right? Like, you know, and it was also one of those gifts. I think a lot of gifts are like this, is when someone saves you or helps you, when Jesus saves you, honestly, the moment he saves you, you begin to learn what he saved you from. You begin to be educated more and more on why you needed him, you know, why his grace is so amazing. And that kind of happened to me with the car. It was like the burden was lifted, and it was like, oh man, we really did need this vehicle. I really did need a friend to be that brave, you know, and generous. And so that's kind of where it all started for me. And that's kind of where, you know, that's the nucleus.
That's unbelievable.
The story with Craig. Oh, dude,
So why did Craig take such an interest in you?
Bro, I don't know. He had, you know, and I think that's the funny thing. When I tell this story, I feel like I'm doing a disservice to sharing it now, because people look at me and they see, oh, this singer-songwriter dude made it. You know, that's what's baffling to me, is when Craig and his wife Laura poured their life into ours, you guys, they had zero to gain. They had almost stuff to lose, you know, being around a guy like, I mean, here's a drunk working at Costco with six kids and one on the way. You know, it's like, yeah, let's go run and be with that family. You know, now it makes sense, you know, why people would be like, how do you do family and all this? But let me tell you, man, when Craig met me, nobody was calling me saying, hey, can you give me life advice? Because I really like what you're doing over there. It really looks like it's working. You know, no, we were not that family whatsoever. So I think if you meet Craig, and honestly, if you meet anybody, not just Craig, but I think God puts Christ-like qualities in all people. You know, if any single human you meet, there's always this little like match or lighter where you're like, I don't know, man, where'd you get that? You know, where does that love come from? Or where does that mercy, you know, how can you have mercy on that person and I can't? And, you know, that's something we can learn from all individuals. But Craig, he just loved us, and Laura did. You guys, he loved us so much. This was crazy. I was not someone who would have said this sentence back then at all costs. But there were nights when we would leave their home, and I'm driving, and my believer wife, you know, who I know, we have this disagreement, you know, on what we believe, and I would look at her on the way home and go, why do they love us so much? And I'm, you know, to me, simply put, dude, I wish everybody I met left, and instead of talking behind my back weird stuff like, dude, that dude's weird, or that I wish they were in their car going, bro, why is Walker so, like, why does he love us so much? Which is probably not what people say, but you know, but that's what I would say leaving Craig's home. And man, I don't know if I've ever said that about anybody in my life, you know.
Well, I mean, Walker, it's the way I came to Christ too, man. Like, I had somebody that showed me what that looked like. And I didn't know what that looked like. And yeah. And I think our biggest witnesses in our lives are living a life. It's not what we memorize. It's not what we have in here. It's not what we can read to somebody, but what we can show someone. Like the love we show someone is our biggest witness. So he showed you, like, he was pursuing something bigger and better, and he showed you something unique, and you were like, dang, that's different. And we all have that opportunity every day when we present love and when we show love to people. That's our witness. That's an opportunity. So how do you take that now and what you started to learn from Craig, how did you take that and start to now become a believer, start to lead your wife, start to lead your kids? Like, how did that sanctification process work for you? Did you start going to church? And then were you meeting with people? Like, how did your faith go from that's something I kind of might want to, like, this is something I'm chasing every day repeatedly?
I think it was kind of God to introduce me to my need, you know, through Craig. Again, just, it sounds silly, but I didn't even want to accept a van. That night, any smart person would have been like, thank you, bro. And so slowly but surely, from that moment, I began to just brew inside me this need, this like humbling, wake up every day, try to be good, but I can't thing that just over time, you guys would laugh, but about a year after that, I snuck into Barnes and Noble and I bought a Bible. And I started I just read it. And dude, I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I was in big words and all this, you know.
Hey, say it fast, like, and nobody knows the difference, right? Just say it, yeah, say it with conviction.
I opened it up and it was like, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, you know, and it was like, oh, no. I remember reading Matthew, and I was like, dude, I feel like I need to read all these names and like the lineage, but I was like, dude, who is Elshabavar? Or what, you know? And, but here's what I gathered to me, man, that just punched me in the gut, was that, especially in the Old Testament, but really everybody, man, you know, everybody, all the people who weren't Jesus were kind of idiots, you know, like Peter. You're like, dude, he's a disciple, yeah, you know. And then he denies Christ three times. You know, a girl walks up and is like, hey, you with the dude? And he's like, no, who, Jesus who, you know? And Jesus even told him, he's like, bro, you're gonna screw up three times by the time that rooster makes a noise, you know? And then Jesus, you know, Jesus raises from the dead. And out of all the people, he's like, hey, you, the one that just told that girl a lie because you were freaked out, go start the church, you know?
Uh-huh.
And that fired me, you know, just kind of that story, but in a different way, you know? No, what was it? You know, Jonah, you know, he's like, ah, dude goes and runs away, you know? And then he just kept coming to broken people and saving them and using them. You know, prodigal son, I love that story so much, which is funny. I'll get back to this in a minute, but I learned quickly as a believer that you're either the first son or the second. And you're, you know, once you become a believer, you could turn into the one that stayed home. You know, I know I'm getting very Bible story-y right now, but what happened to me was, I just realized that, you guys, every second of my day can and needs to be conversational with the maker of all things, you know, with God. And it can be. Every single, you know, talking to you on this podcast, I'm thinking about God. I want a listener to hear him, you know, not me. When I'm speaking to my kids, when I'm interacting with my wife. And again, back to the family thing, I was really moved towards, obviously, you know, with the path that me and my family have taken, we're so together. One reason we're so together is I feel like I can have the tendency to go out into the world, give the world my best for the wrong reasons, to sell myself, to manipulate people into buy my music, buy my story, buy my fame. And then I come home and give my family what's left. And that's bad.
Yeah.
And so today, you know, my focus is, God, bro, please help me steer these kids to you most of all. Not try to get the most I can out of them on a basketball court. Please let me lead my wife. Let me love my wife. Not just to get out of her what I need to make my life comfortable, you know. And honestly, that world is kind of big. I mean, it's just my family. But that's, to me, that's where it starts. And then we go out, you know, then we go out together. But no, as far as just technical things I do, me and my wife and kids, we could be more diligent about it, but we love to sit down around the word or a book. I'm obsessed with a pastor named Ray Ortland, who has been somewhat of a mentor to me since my father died. And actually, get this, Craig is part-time pastor of a church called 12 Church that we go to where we live now. So, you know, those are some like...
Hey, I want to know this. I want to know how in the household this works, homie, because you got Beckett, you got Leland, and you got Chapel, and I can sing every one of those songs, by the way, in my head. Leela Stars, Be Like Beckett, like Chapel, My Little Apple. What does the other four say? Because you ain't written a song about all of them, have you?
Well, yeah. Baylor has a song called Horse.
Okay.
That's, dude, it's a smash. And it's about the first night that he beat old dad. And it was funny. He literally left the court and ran upstairs into the house, you know, to broadcast it to the whole family. And I teared up on the court. I was like, dude, this is what it's all about. I'm a little bit pissed. Like, I didn't want to lose. I would never let my kid win at anything. I'd never, like, they gotta legit beat me. And I'm pretty competitive with them. But Loxley has a song called I Hope You Miss Me. That's pretty amazing. Everly really is the only one that doesn't have a jam. And she does let me know.
She better.
She frequently lets me know.
Hey, I wrote a children's book, Walker, and the main character I used, my son, I used Nick. And man, like, Leah was like, I was like, Leah, what do you think of the book? We let her read it. And she was like, what do you mean? Where am I? I was like, you see the dog at the last little page? That's you, baby. Right. There's a dog down there named Leah. She was like, when are you writing the next book?
Dog.
She was like, when are you writing the next book? That is bull crap. Like, I don't get a book. She's like, this is awful. I guarantee you, Everly gives it to you.
Oh yeah. No, she lets me have it. And I'll get her one in there. But dude, I gotta read that book. What's it called?
Won't Quit Kid. I'll send you a link. It's just about how, you know, the world's hard, but so what? Like, fight, learn how to continue to fight. But hey, real quick, and we got to go. And I know you got other things to do, because I know you were in the gym getting swole, because I know you stay swole.
Just fit.
How did you go from that to, how did you get into music? Like, how did it turn from Craig? First of all, the song about Craig, like, go look it up. Walker Hayes, Craig is that song is the story. You'll hear like all buckled up at the end, like all the things he just talked about. How did you get your big break into music?
Dude, I have a weird, I mean, that's literally like a novel that hasn't been written, but my musical passion came from my dad. He was a music minister from about 20 to 40, and then he started selling real estate. But he was always singing. I got into it. When Lainey and I were engaged, I played a little show because of him. He booked me a little gig in Mobile. I was kind of mad about it. I was like, man, I'm grown up. I'm already engaged. I have stage fright. I would never want to get up in front of people and sing. But I said I would do this gig, and I did it. Loved it. Then I had to tell Lainey's parents, hey, change of plans. You know, I want to go to Nashville, try to write songs, do all that stuff. And that was in 2004. And man, I did not make money, you know, that could really feed our kids at this till 2020. I mean, till right after COVID. And it's all because of that Applebee's song.
That's fancy it. Like, I mean, Applebee's.
Yeah. You know, I had a song called You Broke Up With Me that did pretty good. And Craig was on that album. But I'm so grateful for the gift of music. I mean, I feel very blessed to wake up and just want to do something with my gifts. I'm noticing that. Yeah, I'm sure you see this with your own kids. You guys, you want to see it in their eye. Like, you want to see them wake up and go, dude, I want to fight for that. I want to chase that. I know it sounds crazy, but I want to get after that, you know? And I'm pretty old. I mean, I'm 44, and I don't really think about, like, is this song going to be a hit? Or I just think, man, I just want to write it, you know? And that's still fun. I mean, that's still, like, probably like playing a football game as a kid, you know? I'm like, dude, let's finish this song. Let's write this song. And so I'm grateful for that passion that God has put in me to write songs.
So do any of your kids have musical talent, or any of them pursuing, kind of following in dad's footsteps?
Yes. There's a lot. Lila is a dancer and a singer. My son Baylor, he could drum now for anybody. He's like, their musical talent is beyond mine already. And then I have a daughter named Loxley that, I mean, no doubt. Like, I mean, I'm kind of scared of what her future holds, you know, musically. She really just has the thing, you know, the bug and the gift and the desire, and she'll just pop up and sing in front of anybody, and it's beautiful. So we'll see. You know, it makes me a little nervous because I know the business is rough, but we'll see. And then Chapel, man, you know, he was – I just put out a song called Smoke with a rapper named Connor Price.
It's dope.
And that – dude, it's insane. And it's that was Chapel's idea. We were coming home from the gym one day, and he said, bro, you need to send that to Connor Price. And so I slid up in his DMs, and I was like, yo, you know, we're huge fans here. You know, can I, you mind if I shoot you a text? And he hit me back. And so that, honestly, that was all Chapel's fault, man. So
you better give him a finder's fee for that, cuz.
they don't know the business of music yet. Yeah. So
that's good. Keep them away from that. Yeah. Well, hey man, we appreciate you, man. I've always respected you, admired you, the way you carry yourself, man, the way you write music. I think the way you bring your family along with you, man, it's cool to see. Keep shining that light, and you know, keep coming up with some more dances that will set the world on TikTok ablaze, and everybody jamming.
Let's go, man. I love you guys. Thanks for having me last minute, man. Appreciate it. Good to meet you, Pastor Jay.
Hey, great to meet you. Looking forward. I have to admit, I'm not a big country music fan, so I have heard the Applebee's, but yeah. I'm going to check out Craig and some of these other songs. So looking forward
Black
to it.
Black Sheep. I can go back a long
Black
time,
Sheep's
man.
My jam.
I remember a long time ago. But appreciate you, my man.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good one. Thanks for having me.
See you, brother.
All right. See ya.